This is a Collider.com audio interview.
You following the Mel story?
What's that?
You following the Mel Gibson story?
No. What's the Mel Gibson story?
Read about Mel Gibson.
All right.
Go on.
I'll, should I Google Mel Gibson? Jim.
Can I? You play in this movie a suicidal gay priest scholar. It's kind of a proverbial departure for you. What kind of preparation for that role do you do?
Well, you read a bit about Proust, and you read some Proust, and you don't necessarily. I think it's like anything else. I started thinking about who this guy is. When I read the script, I thought a lot about what has brought this person to this stage of his life. And the important aspects of it to me were the fact that he is an intellect. He's a scholar. He's a self-proclaimed number one Proust scholar in the U.S., which led me to believe that he has, quite an ego and tends to separate himself from others because he thinks so highly of himself and his intellect. So I figured that was slightly disenfranchising to him, that he's removed from others, and he's done a great deal of this himself, to remove himself from other people. So I think the fact that he has this unrequited love and it blows up in his face and he tries to do himself in, that's where we find him at the beginning of the story. So for me, it was just thinking about all of those things and sort of relating to it in terms of my own life, like what sort of things have made me feel as depressed as I've ever felt.
Have you experienced that kind of despair?
That's a hard thing to say. I don't think so. Certainly not that I can recall consciously. But I think people can relate to that kind of despair, whether they've actually felt that, that serious kind of clinical depression. I think most people can relate to what it feels like to at least have a part of that despair, and to try to navigate life with that burden and that hollowness. So I think that was the first thing I thought about, was just where he begins, and to give it a starting point so there can be an incremental growth through the movie.
Were you looking for a role that would be a departure, or was this just a script that you found?
I was looking for specifically for a suicidal priest call, and it just happened to come across.
Suicidal gay priest.
Exactly. Well, see, that's the other thing too. Is I never approached a character in terms of the sexuality at all. It just, in my mind, it was just a guy. It was a person who was in love and was rejected. And I think that's just a universal theme that everybody can, almost everyone can empathize with. But I wasn't looking for a departure. I wasn't looking for something, any sort of breakout character role. I just thought it was a really good script, and it made me laugh, and it touched me. I thought the script was sweet and at the same time very unsentimental, and there was a lot of gray area within the characters. It wasn't. I never got a sense that I'd seen all of these characters, that they seemed like stock characters to me. It seemed like there were within each of these characters a great degree of humanity and pathos, but not in a cloying sort of way.
Could you talk about how much did you put in your idea or ad-lib in this film? Because there's some moments that's so funny, you're running away, mm-hmm. running, or the kind of the bash the door kind of
right, the door falling off.
Yeah, and the your character has a beard.
In terms of the dialogue, there really wasn't much improvising at all, because the script was in such good shape, we all felt, that we didn't want to change any of the words. The words, we, you know, the directors, the actors, everybody felt the words were right. The words were what they should be. So I think we all tried to stick very closely to the script. The run was just, I just thought, if this guy is in fact an intellect and a scholar and probably spent more of his life in libraries than on the sports field, he's not necessarily inclined to be an athlete. So I figured I would do the least athletic run that I could. And so that's what the run was sort of based on. But in terms of, there wasn't a lot of ad-libbing. And yet within that, there still seemed to be a lot of freedom to play with each other. Because there's, I think, a great deal of the movie involved just reacting and sort of silent moments between characters. And there's a lot that's not specified in the page, you know, on the page with stage directions or dialogue that I think, you know, we were able to find as well.
And what about the look of the character? Do you think the beard made him look intellectual or suicidal?
So I could say the beard made him look suicidal, and then I'll get all sorts of letters from the bearded people of America. No, I just thought, in my mind, it just seemed like is something that guy would do. That he would grow a beard and a well-coiffed beard to give himself a bit more gravitas. I was thinking just in terms of what that guy would do as a professor, that he would think it's sort of professorial to grow a beard. But I looked at it just through, you know, why the character would have grown the beard as opposed to white. And it was fun not to shave for 6 weeks.
What was your reaction when you heard that Sundance, there was a bidding war for this film?
I'd never been there before, so the whole experience was new to me. And that night, after the movie played very well, I had no frame of reference. I didn't know whether all movies played well there, and it was just a very accepting film audience that everybody loves films and they're going to love everything they see. And then that night there seemed to be a flurry of activity, and again everybody seemed really excited, especially the producers and, you know, all the people who'd invested. But I wasn't very aware of what it entailed. Not until much later did I sort of figure out how big a deal it had been that night. But it was fun. The best part of it to me was the fact that the directors, and I don't know if you've met them, are the sweetest people in the world. And they had worked on this movie for 5 years before they even started filming it. And on opening night, they got up on stage to field questions, and they got a standing ovation. And just to see it in their faces, how proud and happy they were. And it really felt like this community of people kind of welcoming them in. And saying thanks, you know, for creating this, and we like you. So it was nice. I felt very, very happy for them.
Do you think it has something more to the movie than just a dysfunctional family road movie? Do you think it has something to say about the society we live in these days?
You know what? It's interesting because I hear the word dysfunctional, and But you know what? I think in terms of this family, it's interesting because I think on the outside, they seem to be a very dysfunctional family, but I don't think they are, in fact, because individually, they are dysfunctional people, and they have their problems and foibles and are fighting their own personal demons. But together as a unit, they sort of work. And they're able to get this car started, and they're able to get across the country, and they get without giving anything away, they get Grandpa to where he needs to go. But they do. They sort of, against all odds, they sort of are able to work as a unit, and in that sense are able to be a functional family, which to me is, I think that speaks to your question, because I think in the face of adversity, even the most screwed up, seemingly screwed up people and screwed up families can work, can function. And I think dysfunctional is a misnomer in a lot of ways, because every family is dysfunctional. I don't know one family that is what it appears to be or what people hope they appear to be as a family. There are all sorts of problems with all families, and I think this is just sort of a slice of life in that way.
Have you ever been busted by somebody you know while you were buying porn?
Have I ever been busted by someone I know while buying porn? No. Next question.
I'd like to ask you about Evan Almighty. Who was your inspiration for one of the 8 looks?
Have you seen the whole?
No, but Tom, we interviewed Tom Shadyac.
It is uncanny.
He told us.
It's exactly, and it's pulled back into a ponytail. That is one of the hardest looks we have, incidentally. And after we were done on the last day, I had them snip that, and I hung it over my rearview mirror of my car.
Did you think that The Office would elevate your career the way it has?
I didn't know whether The Office was going to go past 6 episodes, let alone elevate anybody's career. I thought it was good, and I knew Greg Daniels is a really smart executive producer and a funny guy, and he'd hired a lot of really funny writers and good actors. So, but we were definitely up against it because, you know, obviously the comparisons to the BBC Office right off the bat, you know, I think everyone was very dubious about not only the show, but about recreating this what's now a classic show. And so I think everyone most people did not have high hopes for the show. And frankly, us included, we were just trying to do the best we could and with any luck make a good show, but we had no aspiration to match the original one or certainly not to exceed their show in any way. We just thought it was a really funny premise, and we hoped to make a pretty funny show out of it. So I didn't expect anything, and the fact that it's kind of incrementally grown and sort of gaining a following is nice.
Thank you. We have to wrap. We have to move on. Thanks, everyone.
Has Ricky Gervais asked you to be on Extras yet?
No, he hasn't. But he's written an episode for this year.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Oh, right.
Yeah. How is that?
I haven't read it yet. I hear it's really funny.
I interviewed him, and he basically won the phone. And he basically said that he's blown away by you guys and how that they only did 12 episodes, and you guys have done so many more already.
Yeah, we've done 28.
Exactly, and that you have a whole other season, and he's blown away by your ability.
He's been nothing but supportive all the way through. He's been really kind to us, so.
I'm looking forward to the one that
Yeah,
wrote.
Me too.
Will we see him on the show ever?
I don't know. I haven't heard whether he will or not. I know he and Steven wrote an episode, and that's as much. I mean, you hear rumors here and there, but I haven't heard anything, like, specifically.